one, are you tuning into the Base Cult Podcast? Turn that shit up right about now.
I'm the head of the house. I'm the watchman on the wall. I'm the gatekeeper.
Welcome, welcome. Episode 2.
Take 2.
Fuck. Take 2. Yeah. I thought I got at least 2 seconds in before this motherfucker decided.
Dude, I can't stop laughing.
We had recorded something just mere seconds ago, and I completely had a brain fart, and I had to start again. So here we are, starting again. You ever have those moments where you just absolutely forget what the fuck you were doing?
Yeah, constantly.
Every day.
I guess that's kind of why we're here.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to turn this down and done.
Yep.
Cool. Anyways, so, yeah, episode 2, take 2. I'm John Void, my friend to my left here. You have to take my word for it. Ravi Ladwa.
Yo, yo.
And we have a very special guest today.
Powerful guest. I'm using Joe Rogan shit here.
All right.
Okay.
Dan Cameron, Mr. Damage.
Thanks. Nice to be here.
Dan Damage.
That's pretty badass.
Damage.
Powerful Dan Damage.
I don't listen to the Joe Rogan podcast.
Okay,
so
I'll stop then. It's okay.
No. I mean, maybe I don't have to now because you're going to be the Ravi Rogan podcast.
Yeah, sure. This can do that.
All right.
Not as entertaining, but can try.
Yeah, you're doing all right.
All right, cool.
Yeah, so here we are. Going to talk some drum and bass, talk some cars, talk some traveling.
Universe, life.
Nice.
All of that good shit, you know?
Right up my street.
Up your street, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, so go ahead. The universe.
Tell us.
The universe, go.
Oh.
So what's going on with yourself?
Put me on the spot. Not much at the moment. Just trying to get the audio gig. If not, I'll just do the regular 9-to-5 and keep producing at the evenings. But just trying to hone the craft.
Awesome.
Because I've got the ideas, but the producing needs a little bit more work. That, and I don't have decent monitors. So,
what do you have now?
My grandparents' old home stereo system.
Get out of here, yeah.
Yeah, I mean the speakers are fine, but there's holes.
There's holes
in the mix, right?
Oh.
Yeah, not the actual speakers.
Oh, I was gonna say, wow.
I was like, you need new speakers. Kijiji's pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
I just don't get burned.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah. That's it, really. Just keep on producing. Good. The ideas are there, so keep slapping them together.
Wicked. So, well, tell us a little bit about yourself. I mean, I know who you are. Robbie just met you today.
I just met you today.
Right.
All I know is you've been signed to a label.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, you want to talk about that already?
Well, no, we can talk about that later, but I think it's pretty big. Personally, honestly, I think it's...
Well, I mean, there was that first label. I think you guys mentioned in the last show that I had... and you were pretty right, though. You're like, I was listening, like, oh, that's pretty accurate. Like, I was just excited to... Someone wanted my tune, so I gave them over. Actually, I just signed another 2 tunes recently. And like it said in the contract, more or less, you know, the tunes are yours. Like, we're not taking them. They're still yours. Whereas the other contract, it was like...
Okay, so his first contract, how long ago was that?
That was while still in Barcelona, but towards the end, so maybe 8 months ago?
8 months ago.
Yeah.
So some next guy just found you and said, I like your tunes. They found you on like SoundCloud or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And they said, I like your tunes.
Yeah, and they've got some pretty big names on there.
Yeah.
But they're the anti-ethos of the label. It's like... It seems like quantity over quality.
Okay.
Like they're banging them out all the time.
Right.
So
do you get, did you get paid or?
No.
No. Oh.
I send them emails saying, what's the deal?
Because
I know people have bought songs.
Bitch, where's my money?
Yeah. I know people have bought songs.
Right.
But, he's like.
No royalties.
No.
Nothing, eh?
I haven't.
What should we? Are we allowed to mention it?
You know what?
Let's not.
Let's not and say we did because if it is a Russian label.
If it's a Russian label.
I mean, you only have to do a little bit of research to find out which one it is, though. It's not like I've got like a million signings.
Well, so. Okay, fair enough. But if we don't say it, we don't get go sleep with the fishes or something. Mm-hmm.
No.
Or in the potato field.
Holy shit. Racism early.
What are you talking about?
Racism
is
radio.
Is that what they do?
Racism radio.
Hey, I'm the only brown dude here, okay?
Sigh.
Hey, we're in Brampton right now.
That's true. Yeah. Mm. So you didn't see dollar one. You got no signing money. You got...
No.
Did they actually... What were their promises? Like, did they say, we are going to give you X amount of money and...
No, it was just, I think it was 50% after, like, whatever they take in from Beatport. And I know on Beatport you have to sell a certain amount of money before you get paid or something.
I've heard that.
On other, like, online sites, like...
Yeah, before they pay out, you have to have 1,800 sales or some bullshit like that.
Although, saying that, this one I just signed recently, they said, we'll pay you... every time it reaches like 10 euros.
Okay.
So only a few people have to buy it before they'll pass over the money.
So every 10 euros that it's sold, you'll get
five.
A good cut. Or,
That's
pretty good.
Yeah. So, well, it's better than...
It's better than getting nothing.
Better than...
Well, yeah, exactly. Russia. Yeah. Do you want to mention the label's name?
In the Jungle Recordings.
Get out of here. Good for you.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And one of them is a remix of my friend, actually big producer. Like when I first went to Barcelona years ago, this Craig Pearson, aka Graysh, does like 140 Jungle and just like an awesome guy from like Northern England, Macclesfield, just outside of Manchester. And like I heard his tunes, I'm like, wow, this guy's amazing. And now like over the years, like I got to hang out with him and then be good friends with him and then remix his tunes. And then the label guy saw that remix. He's like, yo, let me sign it. So,
oh, fantastic, man.
So there it was.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you lived in Barcelona for a while?
Yeah, for 16 months to the day.
16 months? Wow, good for you.
Yeah. Oh, man, living the dream.
What pulled you out there?
Chops and I had plans to, you know, get parties going and stuff like that.
Okay.
And, well, yeah, long story short... Jobs didn't show up, but I still...
Aww.
Yeah, so that was a bummer, man. That was... And, like, I had broken my collarbone a little bit before, and then, like, it healed, and then I fractured it a week before I left. So I got there, and I find out that Chops isn't going to be there, so I'm just sitting there, like, just so bummed out, like, holding onto my shoulder, saying, like, what am I going to do now? But it ended up being one of the best times ever.
How did you live for 16 months? Did you have savings or did you work?
Yeah. I worked here in Brampton at a landscaping company.
Attaboy.
Just busting my ass.
Wow. Yeah. That's 16 months worth of living.
Yeah.
Wow, good for you, man.
Yeah, I mean, I made a bit of coin there doing some gigs and stuff, but...
Didn't you open for somebody?
Yeah.
Who's that?
That's a good story, actually.
Yeah, I want to hear that one. Listen to this, Robbie.
Okay, just some perspective. When I first show up, the first summer, 2011, I guess it is, there was a big, huge party, Fête de San Juan, and it happens on the beach. You know, just Barcelona parties, they're ridiculous. They're all night. And I end up going with some of these not so, well, kind of shady friends, kind of sketchy friends, but whatever. I just wanted to go and see what the party was like, and they were going down, and it was 4 o'clock in the morning, so let's go.
Cool.
Go there, go to the beach, just littered with garbage and drunk people everywhere. I don't know, a big mess. And like that was, I'm like, okay, well, that's one idea. But then 1 year later to the day, through luck, one guy dropped off the bill. Don't know what happened to him. And Lady M's, I'll tell more about later probably, she just happened to say, you know, like, oh, do you want to play? Like, it's opening for Fabio. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, sign me up immediately. So yeah, just show up on the beach. And, like, a big function one sound system. Loads of people, like, probably at least 100 people, like, on the beach. So you're, like, at one of these chiringuitos.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they sell drinks.
I don't know what that is.
Like, they sell, like, it's just, like, right on the beach. It's, like, a bar that sells drinks and, you know, expensive things. Expensive drinks.
Expensive drinks and drugs.
And just a big function one. Sounds like loads of people. And, you know, I just play out the first tune. Having a wicked time. It's CDJ 1000, so they don't have the... I don't know, I put, like, the CDs in, but I never used them before.
Okay.
And they didn't have a light on the desk, so I had, like a flashlight in my mouth, like, all these people, just, like, off to a real sketchy start, but they recorded it, too, and went live to internet radio.
Oh, right on.
And then halfway through the set, I turn around, and there's Fabio. I'm like, no way. Just, like, shake his hand, and, like, no way, it's a real pleasure to meet you. He's like, yeah, man, like... digging the tunes and, like, just turn back around and finish the set.
Got to hide your erection.
Yeah. Hit the cue button and just...
That's right. Thunk. Ah, damn it. Yeah. God damn my girth and length.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. And then I finished and I was, you know, felt ecstatic and then just got to stand beside Fabio and like and dance while he played like in an unreal set.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was...
That's awesome.
It was, yeah, I couldn't believe it.
4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, this started around, like, I went on at about midnight.
Midnight, okay.
12:30, and then played till, like, 1:30, and then he jumped on.
Nice.
It was incredible.
On the beach, eh?
On the beach. Fireworks going off, just...
See, you know what, man? Between this guy and fucking Love Hurts...
Yeah.
We all just gotta fucking pick up and go to Spain. Fuck, be done with it.
Okay, let's go.
Yeah. Oh, man, it'd be so much fun.
Dude.
It'd be so much fun. Parties.
Seems like a lot of people are getting that kind of that feeling to fuck off, you know, leave North America and go to Europe or go to even South America. I mean, Brazil. I mean,
I think the culture there is a lot more lax than it is here. Like, you know,
in what respect?
Well, here everything had to be done yesterday.
That's true.
That's true. I mean? Yeah, and there's always tomorrow.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I'm closing up shop early. You know, it's 3 o'clock. I'm going to go home, take a nap. I'll open up again at 7 and work for another hour.
Yeah.
That's true.
Right?
Oh. Yeah, man.
Actually, it took a long time to get used to siesta.
Yeah.
It took me, like, the whole time to get used to siesta. It's like, oh, 12 o'clock, I'll go out and get something. It's like, oh, yeah, everything is closed for 2 hours.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Easy, yeah. Oh, yeah, the whole... Because it's too
not
hot
like a
to
tourist
work.
Area, right?
And it's too hot to work in the summertime.
Yeah.
Like, labor. So they just give everybody, like, from basically 1 to 3 o'clock is... dead.
Wow.
Except for, like, downtown, obviously, where shops are open, but
right,
everything nice. Else.
Could you imagine having 2 hours off
a day?
That's
unbelievable.
Yeah, because everyone, like, goes and has lunch with their family.
I think I'd enjoy my job then.
Bullshit. You'd be like, oh, what the fuck, only 2 hours, man.
I hate my fucking job.
Who doesn't? That's why we're doing this. We're trying to get rich and famous.
There you go.
Step one.
Yeah. Record a podcast in your living room. Drink beer.
Hey. Yep.
Step two. I don't know. Let's just let's master step one first before we move on to step two.
Step three. Profit.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Well, I just got back from Florida.
Mm. Yeah. Florida.
The cultural mecca that is Florida.
I heard, you know, they have like the beach there.
Yep, there is a beach.
There
is a beach.
There.
No.
What did you do there other than Mickey Mouse, man?
I didn't do Mickey Mouse.
Oh, okay.
The kids don't like Mickey Mouse, so...
What? You trained them well.
I think it's bred into their DNA, man.
Okay.
Fuck Mickey. Sorry, man. It's a cash grab.
You know,
fuck all that.
I don't mind the mouse. It's that damn bear.
Winnie the Pooh?
That fucking bear. It's stupid.
Oh,
it keeps getting his head stuck in a fucking honey pot.
You'd figure you'd learn after, like, fucking 30 years of doing it?
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, yeah, there's no Disneyland, Disney World.
Right.
Yeah, it was just drinking American beer and eating enormous portions. I don't understand how these fucking people can live.
Oh, so you got
15-inch plates.
The diabetes platter, then.
But everything was a diabetes platter.
Oh, man.
I was at a restaurant. They made a pulled pork sandwich. That was absolutely fantastic. Dude, it was the size of my fucking kid's head. It was enormous.
It was a baby pig. Baby pulled pork
so
pig
good.
Sandwich.
Yeah, the whole pig.
It was unbelievable. And then we went back Second time to the restaurant, I'm like, hey, you know what? I can't have the pulled pork again. A, because I'm going to have diabetes. Two, I want to try something else. Yeah. So I asked the lady, I said, okay, listen, I'm going to have an open-faced sandwich. What about, what's the difference between the pot roast and the hamburger? Like, which one would you take? She said, well, the cheeseburger, was it the chili cheeseburger open-faced sandwich? It's a little bit bigger portion. I'm like, and I'm hungry, right? I'm like, okay, fuck, bring that to me. I'll take that one. Dude, the plate, no shit, was probably 18 inches long and about 7 inches deep, and it was 4 inches high of food, and it was enormous, man, and you feel obligated to eat it.
Yeah, you feel bad because there's
starving people in Uganda and whatever else, right? So I had
there's
to
there's starving
eat it.
People across the street, man. Have you been to Florida? Well, obviously you have. I've been to Florida. I saw starving people.
Well, yeah, fair enough. And it was only $11. So, I mean, there's no reason to not be a fat bastard living in Florida.
Right. Yeah, the price is right.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I gained 12 pounds.
$11.
It was, dude, it was fucking massive. It was huge.
I'm lucky if I can get a burger for $11.
Man. Half price heart attacks.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of, then they have the happy hour. Right?
Go on.
Go on.
I'm getting hungry, man.
So we get there and it's happy hour. Right? Two for one drinks. And I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm going to have a shock top. You know, that orange non-fermented beer, right? The,
okay.
She's like, do you want a 16 or 32-ounce mug? And I'm like, you know me, bring that 32, right? And we hadn't slept, right? We got two kids in tow. We flew across the country, blah, blah, blah. Halfway through, these mugs were hammered. Just, oh, dude, it was fantastic. It was like $2 anyway.
Holy crap.
So not only you can have diabetes and you can be a raging alcoholic for under $50 a day. It's fantastic.
I'm sorry, but that's living the life, man. Is that the American dream?
Regardless of whether or not it's the dream, it's a fucking reality.
Yeah. The revised dream.
Yeah,
the
revised dream.
Yeah. They keep you docile, right? So you don't fight the system too much. And yeah. I absolutely didn't fight the system. I just fucking bought case after case of beer and sat by the pool.
I think I'd be the same way.
Oh, it was fantastic. Yeah. So, yeah, Florida was wicked in one way. In another way, well, you know, it's still the United States and it's still, it's a little bit frightening. I made fun of you earlier, Robbie, about the being scared of the state.
Yeah, I don't like one of the states unless I'm just going over the border to buy some t-shirts and coming back.
Yeah, I hear you on that. It's what scares me, and you know, this is going to probably piss off a lot of people, but it seems that Americans don't know anything other than American stuff. Like, I ran into a certain woman at the pool, and she's like, "You're from where?" And I said, "Toronto." I've heard of that. Where is that? I'm staring at this broad. And it's like 11 o'clock in the morning. She's already like six beers in. You know?
So give her a little bit of a break.
I suppose. But she's looking after two little kids and all this other. Yeah, you know. So anyway, not to shit too hard on my American friends because it seems that they're the ones downloading this podcast. So yeah, America.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah. But anyway, yeah, I mean, that was 7 days, man. I gained 12 pounds. I'm a fat fuck. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I can't wait till I'm on vacation.
When are you on vacation?
2 weeks? 3 weeks? I think 3 weeks. I'm heading to Calgary.
Nice. You're going to visit the 403 DMB boys?
403 DMB. Yeah. Who's that? Logan, Tyler, and Chris?
Yep.
Yep.
No?
No, I am.
You're going to visit them?
I think I'm going to. I think they don't have anything really happening except on the Sunday night. Who did I say was playing again?
New Logic.
New Logic is playing nice. Sunday night. But I'll be in Banff that night, so I'm not going to be in Calgary.
Anyway, if you guys want to check them out, their Facebook page is facebook.com/pages/403DNB.
403DNB. Check them out.
Yeah, very cool guys. And they're pretty much everything happening in drum and bass in Calgary and Western Canada, pretty much. So they know what's
if
going on.
If you want to go to a big fucking scene of drum and bass outside of UK, that's in North America, go to Calgary.
Yeah?
Go to Calgary.
Hmm. It seems like it. They seem to be packing out.
I've got family there, too, that I don't really see much. So
you should go visit.
Nice.
Yeah.
just have a place to put your head and never see them? Because, I mean, you don't see them anyway, right? So
Right,
crash when they are at work and then leave when they get home.
Oh, for sure. Sounds like a plan.
Nice. All right. So, well, why don't you tell me more about your music, though? That's really what I want to know about. You seem to... You have, like, a... We were talking about it earlier, like jazz and bass kind of instruments.
That one track, I only heard that one track from you that John sent me, and I was blown away. I'm like, holy shit, this is good.
Yeah, thanks. No, I mean, I was really happy with the mix, and Lady M's just kills it.
Yeah, her voice is fucking great.
Yeah, man. I was when I was in Barcelona, it's like, oh, it'd be really nice to work with a female vocalist, and plus if she's on the jazzy side, and then I get this message saying, oh, we've got. You know, from her saying, we've got mutual friends doing this, like, sort of warehouse party. Come out, watch her sing, and unbelievable. And she just chats me up after. Next thing we know it, making tunes. And she, like, I just gave her a song and, like a title, like a track name.
And she just freestyles over it, or?
Or she'll just, like, sit down and, like, write lyrics and, like, you know, like, maybe, like, a couple hours later, she'll come back and say,
that's
check
awesome.
This out. Oh, it's unbelievable.
It's amazing.
Great.
Her voice is great, so.
Yeah, real jazzy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is that your influence outside of drum and bass, like jazz, funk, what is it, like?
Yeah. Anything with that soul in it or that musical part of it. Because, I mean, I love the big dance floor numbers and stuff, but me personally, when I like to make music, I try to have as real of instruments as possible.
Well, you can tell because you called them dance floor numbers. Yeah. So it's kind of like Rat Pack-ish, you know. You snap your fingers and...
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool, man.
What did you grow up listening to? Like, what were your main influences?
Well, like I started playing guitar when I was in France for that 1 year when I was 12, 13.
You were in France for a year?
Yeah.
What were you doing in France for a year?
My parents decided to that they were going to go away for a year.
An edumacation.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I was in grade 7 at the time, but they put me in a grade 6 class. So I was like, not only was like I taller than anyone there anyway, I was like 3 feet taller than everyone else. It was hilarious, but it was...
They held me back a grade because they said I'm slow.
I'm from Canada. Yeah. No, that was a great time. But my dad bought a classical guitar and said, here,
okay,
check this out. So I just started strumming along, and we went to the library, and he grabbed a Van Halen Greatest Hits, and the first song was Eruption, and I'm like, holy crap, what the hell is this? Craziest thing I've ever heard. So that, like, really kicked off the music part,
right?
And then just kept playing.
So you learned from the book, or you learned from your father?
I learned from my dad. He just, like, made a chord.
Oh, so your dad knows how to play guitar.
Yeah,
that's cool.
That's his hobby.
Right.
Like, he's...
It would have been impressive if you said you learned from YouTube. When you're 13 years old.
Oh, no. Well, it was Napster at that point, I think.
Was there a Napster back then? I don't know. Okay.
We had a dial-up. My dad almost threw the computer out the window, just trying to get the internet going in France. Like, because we're in rural France. The village has a population of about, like, 40 people, including, like, chickens and sheep, you know? So. Like, there was nobody there. But, yeah, definitely got to hear some music. And
so
then,
you got, like, fresh food every day then?
Oh, the unbelievable! The restaurant, like cafeteria at the school,
right?
Like dope food, like really proper food. And actually, I was I made friends with this Moroccan kid, and he was celebrating or practicing or whatever it's called Ramadan. Mm-hmm. So we were just playing ping pong, and I didn't realize like we just like played the whole. We had 1 hour lunch, no 2 hour lunches.
What the fuck is with these people in 2 hour lunches?
That's 2 hour lunches and shit? I'm like, holy shit.
What the fuck?
You get to eat and take a nap.
I get 20 minutes at work.
Oh, it's terrible. It's terrible.
Slave labor.
That's exactly what I'm
saying. Anyway,
thinking.
So I missed lunch.
You're playing ping pong.
Yeah, and then I got home and they had already like sent a letter home saying like Daniel has missed a very important class. Lunch.
Wow.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, they don't like. Yeah,
they
French,
don't fuck around
the
there,
French,
man.
The French. That's what they do, man. They make wicked food, and if you miss it,
they want to know why.
Yeah.
Sacre bleu!
Sacre bleu! Yeah. I would make a better joke about lunch, but I don't know how to say fucking lunch in French.
I don't know.
That's Quebecois,
yeah,
though.
Yeah. So is sacre bleu, too.
Is it?
Yeah.
No. I heard Pepe Le Pew say it. That's got to be French.
Oh, well, that's got to be true.
It's got to be true if I saw it in a cartoon, man.
No, that was one of the first things, too, you learn. Because, like, all the French kids are like, what are all the English swear words? And then, like, all right, so tell me all the French ones. So that was, like, the first thing you learned there.
Why is that? Every language?
Every language.
Oh, kids, right?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that's true.
And I had to, like, tell them to pronounce, like, say fuck as if they're, like, saying with, like, F-A-C-K. Because, like, they're like, fuck you. I'm like, no, it just doesn't sound cool, man. Like,
I'm not insulted by
I'm
that.
I'm not insulted. I just want to laugh at you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So you were 13 when you were there, right? Eh?
Yeah, 12, 13.
So then you learned to play the guitar.
Yeah. I mean, that was the start of everything.
Right.
And, like, I got back home, I kept playing guitar. And then in high school, joined the band.
Right.
Right. Playing metal music. Doing the classic, playing out of the garage.
Nice.
Yeah, like standard. Like neighbors still talk about it. They're like, oh, you're that kid that had the band in the garage
with the long hair, keeping me up at night.
Yeah, exactly. And then, this is where it turned into more electronic too. Well, the band split up.
Yeah,
as bands do, you know, whatever.
Creative differences.
Yeah. And so, me and my buddy actually like who wrote a lot of the songs. We still had to make music. So I had a Roland Juno D synth, and I gave that to him, so he learned it. And then I had two old drum machines that I plugged into the Line 6 delay modeler, I could just, like, warp these drums.
Nice.
And then, yeah, I didn't really know it, but, like, we're kind of making drum and bass, not really. Just, like, really fast, like, electronic music.
Did you know what you were doing, or...?
Yeah, well, I mean, I just programmed a bunch of rhythms and then, like, changed through them.
Right.
And then, like, to the different drum machines.
So at this time, were you listening to other music? Were you listening to electronic music, or...?
Not really. I mean, I just, like, was swamped in, like, metal music and stuff at that point. So, but I still wanted to make music, and that's all we had. Like, we needed, like, a rhythm section.
Right.
So, that's what we ended up
doing. So, you had no other electronic music background or
experience? No, I had no idea.
You just had these,
the drum
machines.
Yeah.
Music machines.
And like, making that was a sort of time of experimentation for other things. So,
right.
I wasn't the happiest guy on the planet, but whenever I was playing music,
right.
I was like, wow, I'm noticeably content.
That's cool. So then, when did you get your first experience, like your first dose of electronic music?
Raven.
Your rave, your prodigy, your.
I guess I like heard those, but wasn't really. Looking for him
right
at the time, and when I started Harris, like Toronto or the Harris Institute for the Arts, that's the first time I heard like drum and bass, and it was a spore tune.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And like, so it was like really heavy, neuro, but like I couldn't believe it, like the energy from that style and his production, I was hooked.
And that's that, eh?
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty interesting. You know, you talk to a lot of people. It's like, oh, yeah, first time, you know, I started DJing because I was at a rave or,
I'm a producer first, DJ second.
This is like complete opposite.
Yeah.
Well, and being almost in a vacuum where you're going from being a band to figuring out how to fuck with drums through a drum machine without hearing, not trying to copy anything. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
How long ago was this?
The high school was what, 2004, 2005.
Right.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm a snapper.
You are a snapper. That's for sure. Yeah. Holy shit.
Yeah.
I'm an old fuck.
I'm somewhere in the middle.
Nice.
Which part, old or fuck? Which one are you? If you're in the middle.
Just before the old, I guess.
So,
okay.
But yeah, it was 2008 when I was at Harris.
Okay. 2000, wow, that's not long ago.
No, 5 years ago.
Holy shit. Yeah.
Good for you. So, now, there's a lot of people who, you know, want to get involved in that stuff and, like, make electronic music. Do you think that going to school helped you to do that, or do you think that you can do it on your own?
You can do it on your own, because my friend Craig in Barcelona, he didn't go to school or anything. Like, he watches tutorials and stuff like that. And just was a DJ first.
Right.
Like, really into that jungle sound. And, like, he keeps it minimal or simplistic. And that's awesome. Like, those, like, really simple mixes, they usually win.
Well, when you think about it, you look at all these professionals now, right? Like, especially our locals. You look at Marcus, for example.
Mm.
He didn't go to school for it. you know, he's making his own production.
Yeah, I mean, if you hang out with the right producers and stuff, they'll show you.
Gremlins, Rene Levice. I don't think any of them actually went to school to learn sound engineering, right? It's all trial and error. And
And then when you get better, you get to hang out with those people and they'll like tell you, like, oh, well, this is what you want to listen for
right
when you're mixing or whatever.
But then you going to school gave you a better foundation for sound engineering, right?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Right. Just like,
so would you recommend people, you know, let's say this kid, doesn't want to be DJ point and click or, you know, sit at home in front of his laptop making music. He wants to get a proper, like, would you tell him to go to school first?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I'd recommend Harris for sure.
Yeah.
A, because the teachers are, they're full-time in their regular jobs, and then their off-time, they come and teach you.
Right.
So they're relevant.
Right.
And it's a first-name basis, and you can still go back and talk to them. Like, I'm still friends with a lot of them. And, like, a lot of them are, like, big-name dudes, like... Like the like studio design, Martin Pilchner, who is like the don of like studios. Like he built like the biggest Bollywood like studio in Bollywood or whatever. Like this like 3-floor.
Oh yeah, they recording. They got some North American guy to come over and build a.
Man, this guy is.
That wasn't cheap. I'll tell you that much. Indian people are cheap as fuck.
Yeah. Oh, he said like the tools that they were using too. Like they didn't have like any power tools. Like every
drill power was... tools. What are you talking about? Manual. We don't have power tools yet.
All manual stuff.
Just for the record, that was the brown guy, not the white guy, okay? Just for the record, Jesus Christ.
Power tools. Come on, yeah.
I do all my racial slurs off mic.
I'm allowed, I'm colored.
Nice. But yeah, so yeah, I'd recommend that school for sure. And like, just actually the live sound teacher, Bo Cairo, I think everyone should meet that guy. Like, he's just, I don't know, he's, like, live sound is, like, a tough world to be in, because no one gives you any...
Well, what do you mean by live sound?
Like a live sound tech.
Oh,
like
okay.
Running the board or whatever.
Right.
You know, making loud things louder, as he would say.
Mm-hmm. Making loud things
And, like,
louder.
You're controlling, like, it's, like, the equivalent of, like, driving, like, heavy machinery. Like, it's a lot of responsibility. Like,
right.
You can hurt people if you want, like, you know.
Are you serious? So, you could use them as weapons.
Well, like...
Like your speakers.
One of his stories, I mean, whatever I can tell.
So there's like douchebags in the...
All of a sudden, you just fucking crank up the snare and fucking snap their
ear
drums.
You fucking Jersey Shore rejects.
But apparently, he was at some like rap show, and in the middle of it, just the gun gets pulled to his head, and the guy says, turn the mic up. So he says, okay. Just flicks the master faders, instant feedback. Everyone covers their ears. He jumps over the booth and just hightails it out of them.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Get the fuck out of here.
Wow.
Yeah, man.
Well, why'd the guy pull a gun on the... Oh, he
the
didn't
mic
stop
was,
that.
The mic was low, bro. What are you...
Yeah, okay, sorry.
His man's microphone was low.
Holy shit. You imagine?
It's like, yeah, go tell this guy to turn my microphone up.
Did he say what kind of gat it was?
I wouldn't want to
After
stick
he
around.
Shit his pants. Can you imagine?
Man.
Wow.
Yeah, he... That... Bo Cairo, everyone should meet that guy. He's a legend. Apparently,
he's like a fucking escape artist, man.
Yeah, no kidding.
He had a gun to his head.
Matrix over the desk and
see you later,
like,
motherfucker.
Whoa. Yeah,
he's great, like Neo, man.
And like you work in live sound, and you know if it sounds really good, everyone's like, oh yeah, the band, you guys sound awesome. No one's like, yeah, thank the sound man.
Yeah,
but if
it sounds
anything,
shit,
the sound man gets the buck stops at him.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're and like a lot of time, if it's not like, you know, like folk bands or whatever, it's like a metal band. They're all, you know, drunk on stage, so
right.
It's like drunk monkeys, and you're trying to mix them. It's like,
ugh, fuck.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Luckily, we're all professionals here. I got the board right in front of me. I got you guys. Don't worry. I got you guys.
And I need to go to school for this. It's all good.
Yeah, you got the Beats by Dre headphones on. Look
out. These aren't mine.
All right, let's not talk about
that. Dan's wearing mine. So those are the $20 Future Shop special.
Fuck yeah, baby.
Yeah. They might have been 10. I don't know.
Boxing Day sale.
I don't know, they were given to me as a present.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
So what else, boys?
I guess we're straying from the schooling.
Oh, that's okay. It's all good.
Yeah, let's fucking...
Well, you told me you were squatting in Barcelona. You didn't actually live there. What's that about?
Yeah.
Is that true?
It was a nice place.
You
what was
squatter.
It?
Squatter.
There was no running water.
But you had the ocean.
Yeah, and there's fountains outside.
There's what?
Fountains outside. Fountains?
You're going to wash your balls in the fountain, dude?
Dude, I saw that in Italy all the time.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, see.
You heard me.
Okay.
See. I didn't go up to it. Dude, you washing your balls? See, can I watch?
That's why they have 2 hours a day. All right? Because they're savages.
Yeah. That's like, well, the restaurants, they get olive oil in bulk, and it's like these big, like, 25-liter jugs. And so we'll recycle them, clean them out, and then those are the water jugs. So you like every morning you wake up, go and fill up, you know, two jugs of water, one for kitchen for doing dishes and one for your shower.
So you didn't have any electricity or anything?
No, there was power.
Oh, you had power. So you weren't completely off the grid. You're just somewhat.
No. Yeah. We got power.
Just no running water. Savages.
Man, it was
how is he a savage? He didn't wash his balls in a fountain. I'm still fucked up by that. I gotta tell you,
I didn't wash my balls.
No, I know you didn't.
Oh, yeah, one of the best times though. Honestly,
I don't doubt it.
Yeah.
So, like, anyone coming, you know, try to fuck you guys up? You know, if you're were you in the place by yourself first of all?
No, there was a bunch of us living there.
So you knew everyone there before you started squatting.
Yeah.
So how did you? I'm curious. How did you come across this piece of property to squat in?
No, my buddy spent some time there, living in Barcelona.
Right.
And he met the guy who runs, or like who found the house and set it all up. So I just talked to them.
So no one showed up to claim the house? No one ever came to check
on
the house?
No, and it's like, it's almost their house now. They've been in it so long.
Really?
Yeah, so it's like almost theirs.
Finders keepers.
Well, that's
yeah.
In South America, there's all these rules. That happens
squatters' rights.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
My family's from South America, and they always say you can't leave your house alone, right? Because if you go away on vacation, say, and some people get into your house and stay there, it's impossible to get them the fuck out of your house. How does that even make sense?
First of all,
you point a gun to their head.
Well, I suppose that's pretty much how they solve most of it.
Yeah, I don't think you'd want to do that, though. That's not very nice.
Well, especially when your mic's low.
Yeah. Okay.
That's fucked up.
Yeah.
Good times. So from squatting, so then you... Was that it? Then you came back home? Or did you go anywhere else from there?
No, I mean, we did, like, little day trips and stuff. Or, like, there's a... You can take the train north of Barcelona.
Right.
For about €7. And there was, like, a place with, like, these cascading waterfalls. We went and camped there a bunch. I mean, I've done a lot of touring through Europe, so I didn't need to go too far.
Right. Did you go to see the bullfights?
No, in Pamplona. No. Because they're...
That's one thing I missed when I was
there. I don't know, a lot of people don't know this, that Barcelona's in Catalunya, which is not Spain. It is, but it isn't. It's like the Quebec of Canada. Right? They speak a different language, and they want to be...
Do they?
Yeah.
Okay.
They speak Catalan. Yeah. Which is like a mix of French and Spanish. But they made bullfights illegal. So it's the rest of Spain that still does the fighting.
Right.
So you have to leave the little province to...
That's it. So Barcelona's in a completely separate different province.
Yeah, in Catalonia, Yeah.
So they're the douchebags of Spain. I'm not saying that Quebec's a douchebag.
Well, that's kind of what you're alluding to.
No, but they do have cheap beer. Yeah. So if I do go to... Quebec, I'm going to Costco.
That's Spain in general, though, there.
Okay.
Yeah. Cheap.
That's awesome. So then, where else have you been in Europe, then?
Before I went to school, I did, like, the whole... Like, I went and saw... I've got a cousin in England, so we visited her. And then she lives just outside of Peterborough. Peterborough, England.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so then we went
to... Did you go to any parties in England?
Man, we were...
Did you go like Fabric or...?
No, because didn't really know that much at the time, right?
Oh, that's right. You didn't, okay.
Honest.
Wow. Yeah.
And, like, I was with the girlfriend at the time, and we were hippies. We were just roughing it.
Right.
Hitchhiking and camping. So, didn't really have a ton of money.
Hey? Dirty hippie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Like, I wore the same shirt for, like, 2 months. It was gross. I can remember the showers I took.
Oh, seriously?
Like on one hand.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah. It was a great time.
I don't want to sit next to this guy.
I'm too. Whoa, wow. That's crazy, kidding. Though, man. But
yeah.
Now, we seem to be beleaguering this a little bit, but like, what possessed you to do this? Like, what was the... You said you wanted to promote parties and you wanted to do that sort of shit, but that didn't happen, right?
Yeah.
So...
But the place that I lived in, Casper, a good friend, he puts on parties. Like, this is the first time I was introduced to dark psychedelic trance, too. I had no idea what that was. And it's heavy stuff.
Why are you cringing?
I'm sorry. Like Goa and all that shit? Like Goa trance and
yeah, but a little bit harder. Like
oh, okay,
just like gung, gung. Like it got he got up to 175. Like he was making like 180 BPM tracks, but that's like a kick on every beat, right?
Wow,
it's like gung, 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 gung. Just like with like the craziest noises. Like purely designed for acid users.
Right.
Okay,
honestly, like
yeah, when you listen to that shit sober, it makes absolutely
like
no
I'll
sense.
Listen to his mixes. I'm like, yeah, man. I mean, it sounds cool, but there's no way I could casually listen to this. Like,
right. Yeah. That's it's drug fueled music.
Yeah. Yeah. But like we threw parties like in like abandoned pueblos, like little towns.
Yep. Right.
And they were so much
dead
fun.
Abandoned towns?
Oh yeah. There's like a whole map on the internet. It's like abandoned towns that you can go and squat and become like take them over if you want.
Dude, you could be like mayor of some town.
You can call it your own town.
Yeah.
Technically
make your own laws.
We don't have to go across the ocean for that. We can go to Detroit now.
Detroit.
All right, yeah, saw that. Yeah.
You're going to need to go with a little army then. It's a SWAT team or...
Yeah, why, is it terrible militia. There now?
There might be some resistance.
Fuck, they got like little mini militias everywhere all over that city.
Already?
Dude, Detroit's fucking... I'm not going to say it. Detroit's not a very nice city.
Well, I've only been there a couple of times. I haven't had wonderful experiences there, but I mean... I can't imagine there being fucking right-wing militia groups growing out of the fucking city
cousin,
now.
He went to school in Michigan to do whatever. And it was just north of Detroit or North Michigan. And he said him and his flatmate decided to go to Detroit because he said he wanted to go get something from some shop. And it's only this one shop in Detroit was the only shop in, I guess, that part of Michigan that sold whatever he needed. And they went. And he said, literally, it was a ghost town. They're like almost downtown Detroit. And he goes, you know, what you saw in the movies is exactly what Detroit looked like.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Hmm. He goes, they got their shit and got the fuck out.
What's the arena there? The Joe Louis Arena? Is that what it is in Detroit?
That sounds right. I don't know for sure, though.
I went there. Now you're going to fucking laugh in my face. I went for an Amway meeting.
What the fuck were you down there for? Like, what made you go to Detroit for an Amway meeting?
Because a certain friend of mine, who I won't mention his name, got me involved with Amway. Oh, another soldier.
Cheers.
There you go.
Yeah, got me involved in Amway at 18 years old or 19 years old. Anyway, I was young. And yeah, we went to Amway for like the big fucking meeting, right? Where everybody gets...
Did you get free shit out of it?
No. Amway doesn't get free shit, bro.
Well, I don't know how it works.
It's a pyramid. Oh. It's a Ponzi scheme completely.
I don't even know what Amway is.
Dude, don't worry. Basically, what it is direct marketing.
Oh, okay.
Right? So you get all your fucking...
You guys keep talking.
Right. You basically, what you do is you get all of your friends involved in selling shit.
Yeah.
And the people at the bottom send their money up to the top. It's a Ponzi scheme. It's terrible.
Okay.
But anyway, we took the L train and at Joe Louis Arena, because, I mean, the Amway meeting, I was fucking 19 years old. It was boring as shit. And I wasn't really into it, but I didn't want to fucking hurt my buddy's feelings.
Right.
And one side of Detroit is a fucking ghost town, right? And the other side was like a boat show at the Joe Louis Arena. It was bizarre, dude. Like, we look out the fucking left side and it was, you know, dead. And the other side is all like happy white people looking at boats that are over 35
bizarro,
feet.
Bizarro. Yeah.
It's unbelievable. So I, you know, I'm not surprised that it's fucking bankrupt.
Yeah.
But I don't really know the whole politics of the whole thing. But yeah. I mean, if we can go buy a street for $100,000, but we got to, you know, get the army to fucking defend us, it doesn't really seem worth it. I think your Barcelona Pueblo move is better. Let's do that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And nicer weather for one.
Well, absolutely. I agree with you.
Yeah.
So the DJing. Tell me more about that. Like, you are you playing anywhere? Is like it, now, are you looking at it as like, you said earlier, producer first, DJ second?
Yeah, although I love to DJ. I mean, It's a lot of fun. I mean, and just... But to be able to make it more of a live act, because I like DJing, but I'm not the best at it. I'm not like a DJ where you're doing crazy tricks and stuff like that. So to slowly add like a live member, like to someone who knows the tunes and just like jam along with like a flute with like a delay pedal or bring like a trumpet. Oh, like I've seen people DJ and they have just one dude there playing some instruments and it makes it so much nicer. So eventually get like a whole live band going.
Sorry.
Eventually get like a whole live band.
For half an hour.
We're having a deep talk about music and flutes and delay pedals, and you talk about your piss. Yeah. That's fantastic.
You need the balance, right?
Yeah, sorry. I suppose. We're too highbrow for you there for a second. Sorry about that. Back to cocks and fart jokes and
take it down a bit.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, another soldier. Jesus Christ.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers. All right. Well, if that's how it's gonna go.
Yeah. Join the ranks.
Yeah, yeah, I was trying to be responsible, but oh well.
Hey, you're not driving.
No, I'm not. You guys are in my living room.
Is that where we are?
Yeah. Yeah, I was trying to make it, we were trying to make it last show like we were in a studio. Yeah. And then we're sweating so hard.
You let it slip.
Yeah. Fucking air conditioning, I didn't turn it on.
Yeah.
No, it sucked.
Nice.
But you and I were at the LTJ show.
Oh, man.
How'd you enjoy it?
I don't know. It's like the guy's doing what everyone else is doing, but it's so good. Like, he's got like a few tricks that he does, but it's just like the mixing, the crowd reading. The guy, and I saw him at Government that first time
when
with Conrad, and I think it was DJ SS that played after.
Was it SS?
Yeah, that played after.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, I don't know. It was incredible. Like, I couldn't believe it, because like I knew LTJ from like the, you know, the atmospherical, intelligent sort of sounds. But, man, can he make a dance floor?
It was fucking going pretty good,
oh,
eh?
Oh, man. And, yeah. like the Government was bigger, and, like, there was, like, a load of people there. And he just brought it. I remember, like, giving Conrad, like, a high five. I went up to the stage, and he's just like, yeah, and just, like, reaches down and gives this sweaty high five. Like, yeah, that's what it's all about.
Yeah. No, that was a great jam. It took me like 3 or 4 days to recover from that fucking jam, I gotta tell you.
Oh, man.
You know, it's a good jam when you're at the front of the dance floor.
He was in some pictures, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, I was right up there.
You guys are soldiers, man.
Oh, yeah, man. Oh,
well,
yeah.
Well, because, it's a lot more intimate there. So, like, might as well be, like,
right
within feet from this legendary guy. So
that's very eloquently put. I
agree.
Yeah, man. That was a great show. LTJ was fucking wicked, man.
Yeah. Incredible.
Who else is, like... Who else do you rate? I mean, LTJ, obviously, because, I mean, that's kind of... I don't want to say it's your sound, but, like...
Oh, he... Like, when I... Like, it's like a lot of producers, right? When you hear Atlantis or music or...
You know, Demon's Theme, Horizon.
Yeah.
Horizons, excuse me.
Yeah, I mean, they're still, like... They'll still give me, like, goosebumps.
Yeah, dude.
Like, still. Like, no problem.
So who else is there?
Well, like DJs that...
No, producers.
Producers,
because you say you're a producer first. Like, who does it for you?
Oh, man. Well, actually, I got into the Jazzsticks crew, which is Paul SG. Like, he does... Like, he's behind all that. And actually, LTJ heard about him, and now he's like... You know, they're good friends, right? Like a lot of the new good-looking releases are
Paul SG,
right?
Yeah.
And then Paul SG sort of... assembled the Jazzassins.
Jazzassins.
Yeah.
Cool.
Like, and it's Florian, who's amazing. Florian's incredible. So is Paul Sire, T-Con. Like, those are the main dudes, but he's just recently signing Madcap, and who else is on there? Altitude is really good. Row Pieces. Row Piece kills it.
They're all on Good Looking?
Yeah. Well, yeah, a lot of these guys are, too.
Yeah. Wow.
But it's just that more musical sound. It's not, like... It's funny, because, like, I love the old-school stuff, like the jungle breaks and, like, those old bass sounds, like the simple sound.
Right.
But now, I don't know. Some of it's, like... If it's not original, then that heavy stuff, like, I don't necessarily need it. Like, I don't know. That's just a personal preference, though, I guess.
I hear you.
I love that. Like if you put like a horn like sample with a delay on it, reverb, I'm a sucker for that. Like, it just sounds wicked to me.
Man. I agree.
Yeah.
Same with the Rhodes keys, any of that stuff.
Yeah, smooth ass chords. Yeah, dude.
You can't go wrong with that shit.
No, I love it. Because I can listen to that any time of day.
Right.
Like, wake up, it's on. Yeah. Like, some chilled out stuff.
Yep.
And then I've got like the more lively stuff that's like, you know, like that Marky will play, you know, like,
yep.
Like, it's still kind of musical, but it's like definitely dance floor ready. I saw him too at that Marky and Brian G. That
was the really On Point party. It was at Phoenix.
Yeah.
How was that?
Good. I went by myself. There was no one to like go with. And I was just like, just rocked out.
Oh, that's right. Because we asked you for a ticket. Remember?
Yeah. Because we were wondering, should we go or shouldn't we go?
Yeah, I mean, Brian G was sick, and so was Marky.
Oh, he was scratching upside down?
Yeah, I saw that. The video on YouTube there.
Yeah. Like, how do you even do that? Like,
I don't know how that works.
I don't know either. Somebody tried to explain it to me, and I don't know. Like, I can barely mix.
How do you get the tone? Like the
Someone can tweet it to us, at Bass Cult Podcast.
Yeah, please. Yeah. Please show
Tutorial, find it on YouTube.
That's right.
Just like some guy messing up his...
I'm not breaking out a welder or anything like that. Yeah. I'm not welding anything. So, I don't know. Are you going to do a mix for us or what?
Can do. I brought some tunes.
You brought some tunes?
Yeah.
You bring any original stuff?
Nope.
Okay. That's cool. Exclusive. You don't want to...
In retrospect...
It probably would have been a good idea.
Yeah. Not the cleverest producer.
That's okay. You know, just...
You're still new.
You're still new.
Yeah.
Young producer.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Fuck. Oof.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I think we're going to take a break, and then, I don't know, when we come back, do you want to throw it down for a little while?
Yeah, I'm really happy about these tunes.
All right, cool. Well,
before we go, you want to talk about what's coming up?
That, my friend, is a great idea.
Or before you do that, make sure you hit up dmbculture.ca, go buy yourself a t-shirt.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You got to do that.
Yeah, what's the deal with that, anyway?
Deal with what?
Or just that you're promoting them or pushing them. Like, what's the...
That is him.
That's me.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Revelations.
Yeah. No,
we all got free t-shirts from them. That's why. Guess what? I paid for them.
No way.
Thanks, Robbie.
No problem. My pleasure.
All those fucking pictures I have your junglist shirt on.
Yeah.
My drunken ass face.
Yeah. I don't make any money off of it. I just do it because... Here's a story. I'll give you a quick story about it.
Yeah.
I wanted to buy a Junglist Movement t-shirt for the longest time. Mm-hmm. And every time I went to England, I'd forget to buy one.
Like the iconic shirt.
Yeah, from... not Human Traffic. Is it Human Traffic? Yeah, Human Traffic.
Mm. Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. Great movie.
And I kept forgetting to buy one. So I'm sitting there at work because I love my job so much. I'm like going... How much is it going to cost me to ship one over? So I price it out. It's $80.
Jeez.
So I'm like, fuck that shit. So I told my cousin to buy me one and mail it to me, which he did. But I was thinking there, I'm like, I should make my own t-shirt. So I'm like, how do I make my own t-shirt? So I have a cousin who lives in Kitchener who has his own t-shirt company. And I start picking his brain. So I'm like, it's not that hard. Right? So I came up with a couple designs.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, here we go. Got some t-shirt samples. I'm like, cool. Found a reputable printer. And I printed them. And I'm like, okay, what do I do now? So I went online. I'm like, okay, you got to move them. You got to market it. So
nice.
We did a little soft launch at Toronto Jungle. Had something going on in Yorkville, Sex in the City.
Oh, yeah.
And we did a soft launch there. Everyone liked it.
Nice.
And then Bass Week came and started flyering there.
Nice.
And that was it.
I'll have to, support then.
Of course.
Nice.
Like the Facebook page.
I will.
What's the Facebook page?
// DMB Culture. Yeah.
Sounds good.
Just do a search DMB Culture on Facebook and you'll find it.
Yeah, like that shit.
And Twitter at DMB Culture.
There we go.
Yeah.
I like it.
Okay, so what are we today? Today's Thursday?
Today's Thursday.
All day.
August 1st?
August 1st.
Okay. Motherfuck.
Welcome.
Summer's almost over.
Well, it's half over.
Is it half over?
I would say so.
Just make it a good month.
Summer started like in May, June, July, August.
It was cold as fuck. We only get 1 month, July.
Well, technically speaking.
Yeah.
Well, okay, June 22nd or 21st, right?
Summer solstice.
I think so.
Yeah, summer solstice. Well, we ask the dirty hippie over here. He knows.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
So when that day where you're like, you're outside under the sun, naked, running around, throwing dirt up in the air.
Oh, it was a great day.
Okay.
Okay, so today's Thursday. So what do we got here? Okay, tomorrow we got Channel 1. They're doing their 3-year at Sneaky D's.
Channel 1.
Channel 1. That's Marcus and Lush's baby, right?
That's going to be awesome. Awesome party.
Yeah.
If you want to hear some funky beats, garage, D&B.
And some of that fly shit.
That fly shit.
As Lush is wanting to say. That's fly shit. So the DJs on the night, we have Marcus, Task, Lush, Frieza Chin. It's free before 11:30 and $3 drinks before midnight. That's pretty good. Fuck,
that's
I might go that.
Dope, man. You can get smashed.
Okay, before Saturday. Midnight. Before midnight, Paul. I mean, dude, you got to catch a buzz and then be able to drive home at 2, right? I mean, that's the way it goes. So
get them all in.
Now, here's the one I want to go to, for real. Junglist Movement, 14 years, dude.
14 fucking years.
That's Saturday, August 3rd. Anybody in Toronto knows Junglist Movement. Most of us have spent many, many nights at Junglist Movement parties. DJs on the night, we've got Marcus, Lush, Mr. Brown, Saigon, Alistair DK, and this is a 100% Ragan old school event.
Nice.
MCs on the night, Bandit. Oh. Come on. And Caddy Cad. OG Caddy Cad.
That's right.
$10 at the door, I think. I could be wrong, but I think it's $10 at the door. And that's fair. Yeah, there you go. Now, next week, AUX, Ox presents Amit. Wow. Okay. Gremlin, Stranger, Diwa, Silo, MCs on the night, JD, and Killa MC. That's $15 at the door. I don't think there's any advanced tickets for that.
Nope.
But Amit is the fucking producer's producer. I love that guy, man. That's he makes some wicked tracks.
Amit's a don, man.
So, yeah, I mean, that's what's happening coming up. I didn't want to go too far ahead or too close to the time because I don't know if... iTunes will accept this podcast too. I don't know how it all works. I let Robbie fucking put that shit together. It works.
We're on iTunes. Follow us. Subscribe.
Yeah, please.
Download.
Please. We need sponsors. Come on.
DMBculture.ca. Interface Audio.
Yeah, that's
DJMix.ca. So if you need a place, if you don't have any money and you're cheap and you need to post your mix, DJMix.ca.
What about Mixcloud? Mixcloud's a pretty good one.
I've never used Mixcloud.
Yeah, but you can't. I don't think you can download.
Oh no! Yeah, there's no. Ah, see, no, function.
You can download from DJMix.ca. Yeah.
And there's no bandwidth limitations.
Nope.
Okay, you so
it's pretty no frills. It's basic. There's not much of a search option or anything like that, but it's not overpopulated or overcrowded. It's like I host a lot of DMB culture mixes up there.
Oh, okay, great.
And yeah, great cool. site.
Nice.
Okay, so...
I don't know if they're sponsors, but I just plug it anyways.
Yeah, they're good guys over there, right?
Yeah. They're out of Ottawa.
Out of Ottawa?
Ottawa.
Nice.
Yep.
Okay, so my Twitter. Interface, INTAFACE _ audio, AUDIO. So, at that. Follow at me, that. Please. At some point, I will update the Twitter and, you know... I'll have the website out. We'll have music out. All kinds
of stuff.
It's
going to happen real soon.
It's going to happen real soon. Yeah. So anyway, we're going to take a break, maybe have a piss and, you know, have a listen. But when we come back, Mr. Damage is going to rinse out a little mini mix for
us.
Are
you on Twitter?
Nice. Are you on Twitter?
No.
You got to get on that shit, son.
That's what I'm hearing.
That's the shit.
That's
get on it.
That's the.
Do it now.
All right.
You got an iPhone? Do it now.
No, I don't.
Oh, shit.
Really? You don't have a cell phone?
I've got a BlackBerry.
He's a hippie, man.
Oh, yeah. No kidding.
Yeah, I got a BlackBerry.
I just gave that up a little while ago.
Download that app. You can get it for your BlackBerry, can't you?
Yeah, which I think one? So.
Twitter?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it comes with
get on that shit.
Yeah, do it, dude.
Yeah.
140 characters, man.
You know. All right, well, anyway, we'll be back. And Dan will be in the mix, Mr. Damage.
Yeah. At Bass Cult Podcast. Twitter, do it.
All right, we'll be back. Oh, 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 oh
Till I don't want.